Okay, so I hear what you're saying. You want to do AI because you're concerned with costs. Readers don't want AI. You know, the ones that are voracious, the ones that are buying these books and are asking you when the next one's coming out and are going to these conferences and spending the money on shipping and handling, or buying that book for the third time because you've changed the cover and now you're adding gold fill to the edges. They want that book read by a human being because there is something that, as much as I'm a tech savvy girl and I love technology, it cannot evoke the emotion that an artist can in your voice. And that's where the magic lies. And in voice art that is done by a human being, is there's that magical moment where you're like, you're in that scene, you're in that world, you're looking and you're flying if they're flying, and you know, you're running if they're running, and you're sad if they're sad. And that's something that only a human voice can do, no matter how technology savvy or smart that AI is.
Hi, everyone. I'm Daniel Azarian.
And I'm Tara Langella.
And welcome to The Process, the show where we deconstruct the creative process with professionals from all disciplines. Join us as we offer a masterclass in innovation and imagination.
Today, we are so excited to have as our guest, Viviana Izzo. Viviana is the owner and operator of the award-winning Enchantress Bookish Brilliance, providing consultation and PR services to new, up-and-coming, and experienced authors and narrators. With over 10 years of experience in the literary world, she's worn many hats, from starting as a reader and fan to growing into a blogger, reviewer, to working in multiple roles as a publicist, marketing director, audio production manager, and casting director. She is also the owner and operator of the blog Viviana Enchantress of Books, as well as the host of the popular podcast, The Audiobook Lovin' Podcast, and the series, Audiobook Lovin'. Lastly, she is the new owner of the Sultry Listeners Awards, celebrating romance audiobooks. Viviana has a Bachelor of Science degree in business management with a minor in marketing and an AA degree in culinary arts. Hi, Viviana. Welcome to The Process.
Hi. I'm just tired listening to you say that.
So excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
Welcome to the show. So, Viviana, we like to start our show by asking our guests the question based on the title of our show. What does the concept of the creative process mean to you?
It's a great question because I was really thinking about it. And for me, I kind of like looking at the big picture and kind of zooming out to kind of see where everything kind of fits in, and then zoom back in to see all those little pixels. And those little details, I think, is what really makes or breaks anything that you do in life. And that's, for me, it's just that whole thing, like, yeah, great, it's this huge thing and it looks great on your wall, but sooner or later someone's going to walk by it and see that accidental brushstroke. And sometimes that accidental brushstroke is fantastic, and other times you're going, oh my goodness, what the heck was that? And so everything kind of just meshes together. And that's where I'm kind of like looking at that creativeness. Plus also, it's funny because and exciting that everyone sees it differently. Even if we're all looking at that exact same picture, someone's going to focus on something different. And the emotions are evoked differently based on what angle and all that fun stuff. And it's the same thing when it comes down to the audiobooks, to the graphics that we see on Facebook ads or, you know, on banners and websites. So all that together is that zooming out process and figuring out where that person's niche is and that all that fun stuff and just discovering who you are.
I love that. That's great. I mean, you're talking big picture and then zooming in the specific, and you kind of have to be a master of both, I think. And that really shows clearly from your background, you kind of have your feet in lots of different arenas. So that would make sense.
Yeah.
And I want to know, Viviana, because as Dan said, that you have to be both, and you are clearly a master of this. How did this start for you? How did you develop that way of seeing things? I know you have your degree in the culinary arts, so you've been, you have this creative side to you. Was there like this sort of moment when you knew that you saw the world a little bit differently?
Yeah, even as a kid, I was very artsy crafty and DIYing it even before it was a fad in TikTok. and it's just one of those things where my father was an artist and how he saw colors and you know, he dabbled in different types of arts, whether it was acrylic or oils and canvases and things like that, and even crayons and Sharpies. So knowing how all these different textures were, you know, just watching him fascinating at those different angles. You know, when you're little, you kind of start looking at an angle and then you get taller. And then if you're sitting on his lap and just looks different. And I started kind of seeing the world that way, including people and how sometimes they show you one side and then they're showing someone else another side. And you're trying to figure out who they really are. And also if there really is a real thing at the same time, because we're all different. My mom once asked me, how come I have a different group of friends and why aren't they all hanging out at the party? And I'm like, good question. And it's where I realized I have some friends that see me this way, and I have other friends that we do this together and we do that together. And there was maybe one or two that could float with me, like a social butterfly of sorts, in between those groups. And so I've always had that way of looking at things, and I'm a learner on top of everything else, which is probably why I wear so many hats. And it just kind of grew from there. And, you know, whether it was photography or arts or English and culinary, it just kind of finds its way in there and just goes, oh, okay, that's what I'm looking at.
I suspect as a business owner, having that story about you having different groups of friends and acting differently, that probably suits you well now in working with different clients, because you can offer, you probably have an innate sense of what a client is looking for, and you can offer that and give that to them, as opposed to, let's say, a different client. You mm-hmm. can probably have different groups of clients and probably widen your base.
Absolutely. And that also comes from being an identical twin. So I have an identical twin sister, and she's a minute older, but I'm an inch taller. And we were always, like, my mom always dressed us exactly alike, maybe with different colors. And as we got older, we noticed that people assumed that because she liked something, I would as well, or vice versa. So I'm very, very big and particular about treating everyone as an individual and ensuring that those individual needs are met, whether it's a like or a dislike or a preference, boundaries, all this fun stuff, because I know what it's like to have that assumption posted upon me that because she likes this, I'm going to automatically like it, or vice versa for her as well. So being able to kind of jump in there, I can hang out with you at the ballpark and go into an executive VP meeting and, you know, right afterwards. And I can, you know, hang out and do beers at a bar and, you know, and meet you in a new client group and, you know, show you off that way.
Viviana, so tell us. What inspired you to create a company that connects readers, authors, and narrators? What inspired you?
I was always a bookaholic. And I mean, my mom took this photo of me as a toddler, maybe 2 years old, sitting in the toilet reading a book. I still have that. It's one that I'm okay with posting. And so I've always loved books and stories. And it just kind of started that way. And then I stopped in my early 20s because life and adulting and all that fun, messy stuff. And then I got back to it where I started reviewing for another blog and doing all these things. And my friend, who I affectionately say that she didn't just push me off my conflict cliff, she ran and took a little momentum and shoved the crap out of me off of that thing. I had no choice but to fly. Because otherwise it would have hurt with how far she shoved me. And that's where Enchantress of Books, you know, the blog came from apart. And then seeing that there was a lot of PR companies that were out there, so I would sign up to promote and help, because I'm all about loving and returning and giving back. But there was always something missing, whether it was the bio or blurb, or why are we expanding that image that way when it's a square? Don't force it to be a rectangle and vice versa. And so I started having to create some of that stuff on my own. And as a learner, that just kind of went there. And I just started learning. And, you know, with going to school and marketing and stuff, I'm like, I can do this. And really help authors from the very beginning. And then we weren't really talking about the audiobooks at first, which is where Audiobook Loving Series comes into play about 10 years ago with Kelly, who's a dear friend of mine, Books and Kisses. And no one was talking. We didn't even know June was audiobook month. Yeah. Like, there's a thing? I mean, I know there's cupcake month and chocolate this month and all this other fun stuff, but there's audiobook month and oh my God. But no one was doing anything. And we totally checked and did our research, because I am not that girl that invents a new hashtag if it's already been done. And there wasn't. And so that's kind of like how all this kind of meshed together. And it's just that connectivity, I think, is community is important and needed.
Viviana, could you just take a few moments for our listeners and viewers that might not know what your company does, you know, connecting authors and readers and narrators? Give us a little overview of like what exactly your company does.
So Enchanter's Bookish Brilliance is about helping authors and narrators work with each other, as well as the audience and the readers, in whether it's marketing and figuring out what that niche looks like, jazzing up the websites, creating more social media and presence, redoing a logo, because no, you can't trademark a logo if you use Canva. And people don't stop to think that way. No, please do not use Henry Cavill as part of your marketing for a book. He's not holding your book, baby. And Taylor Swift isn't doing it either. because we know this, because it's Taylor Swift. Come on.
Yeah.
Washima does that. But anywho, it's just being able to provide that business savviness that a lot of artists don't have, because they just want to create. They just want to be out there and they want to connect with the folks and they want to have their voices or their books read, their voices heard, meet people and all stuff. And at the same time, I'm running behind them saying, don't post that. That's Henry Cavill.
Let me ask you, are your clients typically receptive, or can you maybe share some challenges when, you know, they have their headset and doing one thing and you come in as the expert and want them to do something and maybe they disagree with you, or like, how do you navigate that?
I always try to err on the side of they didn't know any better, and I'm teaching a toddler how to walk, or I'm teaching someone for the first time what is, you know, sauteing vegetables looks like, versus sticking it in a boiling pot of water and walking away. There's a difference why it's called a saute pan versus a pot.
That's what I do, by the way.
and so we have these conversations and saying, hey, I've seen what you've been doing, which is, you know, I love the fact that you're getting out there. So you always want to start positive. And because it takes a lot to put yourself out there. It's huge. First of all, to write a book, to buy that mic and audition is a whole lot of like, oh my God, and imposter syndromes and all that fun stuff that goes along with it. So I'm not going to come in there and just cut you down. I'm going to be like, okay, we're going to do what's working, what's not, and what can we continue and what we're stomping. Because Henry Cowell is a stop. Okay.
That's a no.
No, we're not doing any more David Gandy, monologues and stuff like that. But it's just having the conversation of, hey, listen, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm seeing. This is where your next steps could look like. And, you know, where do you want to go next? If we're headbutting and they're like, oh, no, this is not what I want to do. I'm like, okay, you have my information. You know, this is the stuff that I provided you. I wish you the best of luck. And, you know, you always call me back and things like that. There's no way to convince someone of something that they don't want to do, or they don't see it, or they don't think that they're wrong. There's absolutely no, I'm not wasting my energy on that. And it's until they see it, it doesn't matter what I see as the expert, you know?
That's such a good point and absolutely true.
Excellent point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can guide them, but ultimately it has to come from them.
To take a horse to water, can't make them drink.
No.
Shoving them is just going to get you wet, and that's not the whole point.
So Exactly. Now, Viviana, you wear so many different hats. I mean, you know, casting director, audio production manager, podcast producer. How do you juggle all of these roles as a creative? Although I can see, I mean, you love it, but how do you do that? How do you juggle those roles as a creative? And how do you adjust your creative process for each role?
I have a bunch of planners, digital and traditionally. I am a planner. I love planning in advance, but I'm also very good at adjusting when things, you know, spring up. And I try to stick to one thing at the same time, but there's always that moment where you're working on one graphic and you're like, oh, so-and-so needs this. So I'm here, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Realizing that I have one more guest book that I'm like, whew, that's going to be in 2 weeks. So I need to start scheduling more. And it just, it's that whole creativeness. That's where I totally understand the narrators and the authors and any kind of best person's creative, because they're all over the place.
Yes.
I'm all over the place. And I just, while I'm hurting you, if you're my client, I don't have anybody to hurt me except for myself. And I just try to keep as many balls up as I can and realize that if I'm brain fried, I need to step away. And whether that's jam to some music, go through my Instagram, play with my kitten that I just got, or play with the dogs, it's just kind of stepping away. But it looks different every day. And it, depending on the project, what's going on. And sometimes there is no rhyme or reason. To-do lists are basically very key. And sticky notes are important.
Reminds me of you, Dan, in a way, what Viviana's yeah. talking about. I'm sure you can, I saw you nodding or relating to this. You know, the brain is always like most creatives are, but some more than others. And I think you and Viviana have that where you're constantly juggling so many, because Dan too does so many different things.
And do you find your mind like thinking, like right now when we're doing the process, I'm thinking, okay, that's going to be a good soundbite and I'm going to put that at the end. Like I'm already like editing while we're talking.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get distracted a little because it's like, sometimes there's all these voices in your head.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, even when I'm sitting down in the living, so I have, this is my office where I'm at now, but I actually have a laptop set up in the living room because I'm just not going to one task a thing and watch TV. No, I'm going to multitask. And as I'm watching TV, hanging out with the family and petting my dog, I'm coming up with a concept for the next graphic ad, or pulling up videos from, you know, stock sites or this and that. Because it's constantly going. So one thing I do love about the technology with our iPhones, the Notes app.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
But it's hard to disconnect. It's hard, you know, but
I love the Notes
gotta...
app, and I love the recording app, because sometimes it's like you guys, sometimes I'm somewhere or I'm driving or whatever, and all of a sudden a voice comes out and I'm like, oh, I need to record this voice, you know, because I don't know, you know, when it's going to pop up again or I'm going to forget it. So, yes. So that's, technology is good in that sense. It's very, very good.
Yes. I did say that. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yes.
Same thing with social media. Goods and bads with anything, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Do you have any suggestions for voice actors who want to break into audiobook narration? Do you have any suggestions for what we're talking about, how to make themselves stand out or how they can connect with, you know, people like yourself or, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think reading and wanting to be part of a community is significantly more important than doing a sound clip that might sound sexy. So if we look specifically in the romance genre, because every genre is different. The market is different. Everyone, the career paths might start similar, but how they get there is a little different with romance, especially since the past 2.5 years, since the pandemic, really. How we see and hear things has completely shifted. And within romance, we're constantly looking for that next hot voice. And people are going to say, well, I've had people say, like, hey, people have told me I sound good, or I have a good voice. And I'm like, great, let's put you in a booth, you know, in a closet for the next 5 hours and see if you still want to talk to me after that. You know?
Excellent advice.
There's a lot to it.
Yes.
It isn't just having a really good sounding voice, because that's great. Fantastic. You have one of the many other things that require you to do this job. So what's the next step? And if it is, for example, wanting to be part of romance community, then start reading the books. Start looking at what the different genres are. They're vastly different. You have things from sports romance to fantasy to dark romance to, you know, LGBTQ+. You know, there's so many different things. And wanting to know where you fit in and where you're going to be comfortable saying some of the things and telling people stories, that's important. And then kind of going into that next step. Because otherwise, you're going to be like, hi, I was told that I have a good voice, and what's next? I'm like, dude, we need to talk.
I love you, and I love that you said that. Yes,
like,
it's so true.
You know, it's a question like, hey, what do you want to eat? Blank, right? Everybody goes, oh. And then so I'm like, okay, that's a huge question for me. You know, I'm like, I don't, especially as myself, I don't have cravings very much. So if you come at me with, what do you want to eat? I want to be like, oh, I don't know. So you have to be like, okay, well, what are you in the mood more for? Something spicy? Are you in the mood for something sweet? And I'm like, okay, I want sweet. Okay, so we want to go this place, this, this, and this. And then it's kind of how you kind of start asking those questions. You know, if you're a voiceover actor, where do you want to, do you want to do romance or do you want to go do, you know, biographies and memoirs? Okay, great. You want to do high five, you know, fantasy, fantastic thrillers, and you want to go stabby, stabby, perfect. You know, get those, you know, stresses out. It's a buffet, you know, you kind of have to go for it.
So to that end, let's switch gears slightly and talk about, let's say you're an author and you've maybe you're self-published. Maybe you had 1, 2, 3 books and you haven't done audiobooks yet and you decide, I want to do an audiobook. Any advice for an author that's going into audiobooks for the first time, things they should avoid or where they should start or any just like general information you can share if you're speaking to them?
Oh, absolutely. It does not take 20 grand to make an audiobook.
Okay, good.
It does not take 20 grand. It does cost money. And with anything in life, you're paying for what you're getting. So if you want to pay $5, you're getting worth $5 worth of narration. And, you know, same thing. Everyone has a budget. So kind of start looking at what that looks like. And those are the kind of conversations that I have with people is it's a great audience that you're building into. You're going to grow, but you have to look at that there's a cost associated. And having them figuring out what that return on investment is going to look like and what you're going to have to put up front and kind of figuring out what the different paths are, because there's so many different ones. You may not have the money up front, so we may want to look at royalty share. And what does that look like? And what does that commitment, because it's 7 years according to ACX contracts, you know, and what that looks like. And also knowing that people got to get paid, which means it's not just you, boo. It's you and the narrator. Narrators, depending on what you're, how do you manage that? Then there's a royalty share plus plan, you know, idea where you have put a little bit down and stuff like that. And we're not even talking yet about mastering and editing because that's part of the whole conversation. People tend to forget that it's not just the voice actors that you have to pay. You also have to pay someone to make it all sound good.
Yeah.
And the editing and the mastering and then audio proofing, they can do stuff like that. And then there's their finished hour plans and then finding that right voice. I love and adore Sebastian York, for an example, but he may not be the good fit for that character of yours. And that's okay. And we can look to find someone that may look like, what is it about Sebastian York's voice that you like, that you thought was initially a good process for this? And then those are the questions you start diving into. It becomes a bit of a rabbit hole, but it's an important rabbit hole because there's money involved and time. Yeah. It's definitely something that I think it's worth it. Just like for when you do print and publish a book, doing it in paperback is great, but you're going to lose out on this audience that only eyeball reads via e-readers. So make sure you have it in ebook. But now you're also like, oh, what's another format? Oh, audio. And there you go. And so you're three different audiences that can't jump around in between, but they're still separated. And some people only do eyeball and some people only do earbuds. So it's just a lot. But having that conversation, and just like with any kind of service, whether it's a plumber or a doctor or anything like that, do your research and get different quotes, because the amount of time someone stops from doing something because the numbers scared them is so sad. And there's other times too where a company, as good in their intentions and their quality of work might be, is highballing them and it may not be a good fit for them. So having those conversations and asking the right people or asking someone, and not just the readers. I love my readers, but they're fans. And fans are, they're supposed to really love on you as a creator and things like that. They're not business people. You know, they should be able to say, hey, go check out so-and-so as a production company or a publishing house, or go check with Yana. She can provide you with information. That's as far as they really should be going. A lot of times the fans will, in their best intent to help, have been a negative impact on some of the authors.
Do you ever run into situations where an author says, you know what, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to find a voiceover artist. I'm going to cast it. I'm going to, you know, have them do it and record it. And I'm going to just do everything on my own. I would think, and I'd love to hear your take on this, that an author by themselves might not be necessarily, even though they wrote the words and it's their work, they might not necessarily be able to pick who would be good for the market to read their book, as opposed to having like an expert like work with them or going to a company to collaborate. Mm-hmm. Is that the case, or can you share that a little bit?
It's a hit or miss. I think with anything in the creative, it's up to the interpretation of the person. And sometimes the author themselves will turn around and say, I will be the narrator. I will do this and do all the characters. And sometimes we're going, oh, please, God, no. You know, wait, this is not a memoir, guys. This is not, no, this is high fantasy. Please, no. And then you kind of have to have the conversation, because that's my internal reaction. Oh, God, no. How do you HR that into a business conversation? Say, okay, well, that's great. I really love the energy that you're trying to put into this and the time that you're doing in there. But we really need to look at where your time is very best spent. It could be on writing that second book versus spending all this time and money on getting a new equipment and figuring out, you know, self-editing while you're trying to narrate. And what if you get to that one accent because you love that character in that Russian accent, but you yourself suck at it. How do you go up? Those are the conversations and kind of have to wiggle around.
I will do it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I just have a like Russian bear. I can do this. as far as my goes, but it's I mean, a lot of times when it comes down to, especially to indie authors, they are on their own all the time. They are the publishing house, the marketing department, the social media director, fill in the blanks. They know exactly, and that's also I think how I can navigate their world so well, because I kind of do it myself. And wearing so many different hats. I mean, it's even a meme now. Like, I wanted to be a photographer, but I'm also, and they're like, get all sad. Because there are 5,000 other things from a business perspective that they didn't realize that they're going to have to do, because they are a self-employed business owner. And authors and narrators are self-employed business owners. And as soon as you see that and you recognize that you are a business owner, that business savviness should need to shift a little bit. And as much as you want to do everything by yourself, you can. You can produce that audiobook on your own. You can spend the time to find that right voice. You can't find the time to, you know, email Tara and say, hey, I want you, you know, and go from there, and then figuring out who then the other narrators are going to be, so on and so forth. But that's also time that you're spending away from writing that next book that's going to be your biggest cha-ching versus this. So getting help is good. You don't have to go full blown on and hire someone to do this full time. You can have someone a la carte. Or, you know, freelancers are a lot of project based. We can have that conversation about, okay, so you want to make your book into audio. How do we do this? And they can provide you with a list of production companies and the alternative of doing it yourself. We'll figure out and find an editor for you. Mind you, that's the first place I went, not even narrators. I need an editor. And kind of have that conversation, and then figuring out what your time is worth, because if they want to end up doing that next book and writing it versus doing all this stuff, they may be like, hey, Viv, this is the money that I'm, go ahead, you do it, or you find someone to do it for me. And then they're like, okay, great. Sometimes they don't have the capital for it, and they're like, I'm just gonna do it myself, and that's it. I'm like, okay, great, how can I help you? It's usually what I say, how can I help you make this dream a reality?
Now, on that cutting costs question, just to tag on to that, AI. Yeah, I know. I hate to say it, but I want to say it because I want to get your take on this. What are you seeing in the world of audiobooks and AI? Have you gotten that question from authors saying, I'm going to do the AI? And what is your response? I want to know what your feelings are about that, because I know what mine. All of ours probably are.
I think you and I are in the same boat, actually.
Yeah, we're rowing it.
We're rowing it. We're going in the hole.
Rowing it away from AI as far as we can.
Because you can change someone's mind if their mind is set, my immediate conversation is, okay, so I hear what you're saying. You want to do AI because you're concerned with costs. Okay, so your upfront cost is going to be $2, okay, if you go with AI. And that's inclusive of productions and anything else. Add another, you know, let's round it up to 10 if inclusive of marketing. So that's $10 that you spend using AI. But that's where it's going to sit, because it ain't going to make you any more money than that. So now you're $10 in the hole, because readers don't want AI. You know, the ones that are voracious, the ones that are buying these books and are asking you when the next one's coming out, and are going to these conferences and spending the money on shipping and handling, or buying that book for the third time because you've changed the cover and now you're added gold fill to the edges. They want yes. that book read by a human being, because there is something that, as much as I'm a tech savvy girl and I love technology, it cannot evoke the emotion that an artist can in your voice. And you can hear when someone is sad. You can hear when they're all excited and they're talking like this, and you're like, Viv, slow down, because he's excited. Or even in the sexy times, it just doesn't do it. And as much as AI is getting smarter and better at it, it has its role. I want it. Listen, as much as Tara reading my HR, you know, manual at Disney would have been significantly more entertaining than hearing the AI, you know, someone else do it. That's okay. It's a half an hour of my time. I didn't pay nothing for it except for my time. But I'm on corporate time, so okay, it works out. It's different. It's just informative. You know, don't do this, do this. Don't do this, don't do this. You're not telling me a story. You're not teleporting me somewhere else. And that's where the magic lies. And in voice voice art that is done by a human being, is there's that magical moment where you're like, and you just stop what you're doing, because now you're almost like a 3D movie. You're in that scene. You're in that world. You're looking and you're flying if they're flying, and you know, you're running if they're running, and you're sad if they're sad. And that's something that only a human voice can do, no matter how technology savvy or smart that AI is.
And that yeah. AI is going to get more and more expensive.
Yeah, eventually. Eventually. Hey, I mean, eventually.
Eventually,
I mean, here's the thing,
it's not
going to
be that.
Don't realize that, you know, people don't realize that back in the day, gas yeah. used to be 25 cents, you know?
Yeah.
Cars was your car payment a month. It was like, oh my God, I had to pay $120 a month for my car. You know, rent, everything goes up. And as soon as they hit that technology nest where it's running on its own and people are, because they've hooked you, they're yep. going to be like, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then now where are you at? You know, yes, it's, you know, it could be fast money. You might be getting a good AI program that sounds really, really good. But eventually you're going to pay for it in one aspect or another of your business. Whether
Absolutely.
It's the readers that you're going to lose because you chose AI. It's going to be the cost of it for your next book. Now, well, it was only $5 before. Why is it $55 now?
Uh-huh.
And these are small numbers because I have allergies in mathematics. My mom always told me hate is a strong word. So I don't hate math. I just have allergies to it. So I have to deal with it. And this kind of like where that goes. And it's, I think with any kind of world that we're looking in, the authors were excited until AI started invading their space.
Yes, sir.
And it will invade everyone's space. So
yeah.
So I love hearing things about the readers, that just how passionate they are about narrators, and they want narrators. It just makes me very, very, very happy to hear that. And it's also one of the reasons we do a show like this, Viviana, talking to you and Dan, and talking about the human creative process, because it is inherently human. So That's why we do this, to just get into your brain and see how you make your magic happen. Now, I want to talk about, can we talk about casting?
Yeah.
So what do you look for, Viviana? I know Dan had asked a little bit about this when he was talking about when you're working with authors, right? So I find this fascinating. So you're working with an author and they're coming to you and you're working on casting. And I'm sure you have both. I'm sure you have authors that are like, this here, you do it, or you have authors that have a very specific idea of what they want and what they want to hear. So what do you specifically, because again, we have a lot of voice actors and we're going to have people listening who maybe want to break into this. What are you looking for in that narrator, say, creative process? What are you looking to hear from an audition? And of course, this depends upon the character, but what are some things that you've heard that maybe you can give an example of somebody that just blew you away and somebody that maybe didn't follow, you know, instructions, or if you have a couple of examples, I'd love to hear.
Goodness, if you are, as a voiceover actor narrator, if you are provided with instructions on how that scene should go, listen. pay attention, take notes, highlights. Either because the casting director is providing them to you or the author themselves have provided someone with that information, whether it's supposed to be a light hiccup or a light hitch in the voice and you're busting out with this, that's not it, bro. That ain't it. You know, if you're supposed to be sounding vulnerable and or emotional and excited, then portray that to your best ability. If you don't understand what that they're trying to tell you, go back and ask. Always ask. Don't ever assume. That's like a life question, you know, kind of thing. But it's a matter of, you know, a lot of folks, we talk about those 15 minutes.
Yes.
And there's an audition, the first 15 minutes. You can give me a great first 15 minutes, but I'm also going to bust you on if you end up calling it in and phoning it in afterwards, like once you've been cast. So if you're auditioning for something, whether it's something with a British accent and you're going, I can do this for 15 minutes. Heck yeah, I can. You know?
Yes.
Or
yes.
You're portraying the vulnerable heroine that is just, you know, taking it and all of a sudden, oh, she's going to explode. But all I'm giving you on the audition is that, you know, calm, cool collectiveness. You know, you need to bring it kind of thing. And so those are things that you need to have the consistency and the stamina, because these books are not 2 hours long or 15 minutes, even though the audition clip might be 15 minutes.
8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some books are 33 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that's where the conversation needs to happen with the author, if they're the one doing the casting, and the narrators directly as to what they're providing you with. I always tell anyone that's providing the audition part to the author, to the narrators, is give me the banter. Give me more of the emotional scene, because that everything is funny and great and lovey-dovey is fine, fantastic. Now, but if she needs to cry, you know, or they need to yell, I don't want my phone earbuds to fall off of me because they literally yelled on my ears. But it's how they're invoking that emotion of the portrayal of what that yelling looks like and sounds like. And so it's important to kind of provide the narrators with those auditions, and also for the narrators to bring the audition and give us what we're asking for, whether it's the emotional scene and things like that. And also being honest, if you cannot do more than 15 minutes of a British accent, it may not be the role for you. And that's okay. And that's okay. It just means that if this is the kind of work that you want, it's time to go find a coach and start learning those, you know, those British dialects, and then next time audition, you know, and that's, you know, and that's fine, and that's okay. And not learn about rejection, because there's going to be a lot of it.
Yes.
So it's it looks like it's a new skill, a different skill set. So someone, let's say, might have been doing voiceover in commercial or promo, but audiobook is the physical demand of just having to speak for a long time, I would think, would have specific requirements that maybe some voice actors may not even be aware of.
No. Sitting still. Yeah. And not making any noise except for your voice, the things that are coming out of my mouth, not the jingle jingles, not the chair that swigs, or my favorite, the tummy noises. You're hungry and you forgot to eat.
You got to stop.
That's so many things
stop
that, you know,
you got
to
stop.
So many things you wouldn't think of that you have to pay attention
to. Or mouth noise.
Yes.
The first time I heard that, I'm like, what is mouth noise? And then I heard myself, I'm like, oh God, that's what that is. Okay. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's editing out.
Yeah, and if somebody's got to edit, you got to edit hours, you know, you don't want to have that going on the whole time. No.
There's a lot to it. I mean, Sean Pratt has a video on YouTube that I always direct folks when they're like, hey, I've been told I sound good. go watch this video. And basically tells someone to sit in their closet for like 8 hours and read a book. And figuring out that, you know, when those words start blah, 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 because it's your mouth is tired.
That's
or you don't know how to pronounce the word and you're going blah, 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 blah. And you're going, that's not right.
Yes, you've got
to
research.
There's a lot to it. Research. You
got to do a lot of
kissing
research.
Not kissing me.
And then if you're reading as you're going along and you make a mistake, you have to stop. And then you have to go back and do that again. So that uh-huh. Sean Pratt video, which it's incredible advice for anybody who thinks, hey, uh-huh. I want to be an audiobook narrator. Go sit in the closet and read it.
It's more than sounding sexy. And I think that's where right now, especially with the ticky-tocky, that we're having to have the conversations a little bit more business oriented is saying, great, listen, I love that everybody loves you and that, yes, damn, you sound good. I'm not going to lie. You sound good, but you cannot carry a book for 10 hours in that sexy, breathy tone. It's going to get annoying. That's
range. So you're looking for range.
Range, my dear. Range.
And also, and stamina.
Yeah. And also, usually books are not just one character. So, and that's where the range comes in. If you're doing dual or solo narration, that means you're doing every single freaking character in that book, from the kid to the dog barking, depending on how, you know, this is being done, to the grandmother, to the grand, I mean, everything. If it's dual narration, one is taking the femme characters, chapters, the other one's taking the male chapters, so on and so forth. And duet, you might be easier, you know, because you get, yeah, one character and you're one and done, you know?
Yeah.
This is it, and you can dive a little deeper. But there's still a lot to it. The ranges and figuring out the voices, and heaven forbid, because I always use as an example, that one character comes in and sits at the bar with you, who's your BFF, and you have lost all of the other ranges because you have other characters, and you're going, I'm going to talk to them like this for the rest of the character for that one scene, you know, and then come to find out they're the heroine or the hero in book five. And you're going, nope, that ain't going to fly. Has that happened to you, Tara?
Well, this is why we always say, read the book. Read the book, because you're going to do that accent. Maybe you can do an Australian accent for a couple of lines.
Uh-huh.
And then, like you said, you find out, oh, there's book four. And it's all about her.
Yeah.
You know, book four, we're going down under.
Literally and figuratively.
We'll cut that out. We'll cut that out, Dan.
Okay. That kind of reminds me of that famous story where Cher had just got cast in Mask with Meryl Streep, and she was a new actress at the time, and they were doing a scene, and Cher was like, oh, I want to eat a donut in the scene or something. Are you sure you want to? Yeah, I want to eat a donut. Of course, 30 takes later, she was like puking, because why did I want to eat a donut? Because, you know, you have to do it over and over and over again. So it's a similar thing with doing a very severe or specific accent, you know, that you have to realize I have to maintain that.
Yeah. And this is where the return on investment is made on the author's part. They are paying you to make sure that you are keeping that, you know, for the duration of the book. Because also what happens, this isn't one of those things that you put out there and it's a one and done thing. Someone's going to listen to this. And if you're supposed to be doing a Southern Savannah, Georgia accent, and you say something mispronouncing it because, A, that accent is not maybe your skill set, but also you forgot to do the research on how to pronounce that one street that they mentioned, that reviewer is going to tell you.
And the listeners are going to tell you.
They're going to tell you that is not how we pronounce that word. And that is not how the accent works on that word or that tilt or whatever you want to fill in the blank. And a lot of folks, you know, the authors, the people read them by books sometimes based on the reviews. And when I'm going through the reviews, I always look at the highs and the lows and the middles, because I also know that there are trolls, but there's also street teams. And you know, there's folks that will love a book because that author and or narrator can do no wrong. I'm like, no, honey, that was not a 5-star book. Sorry. And that's okay. But that's also where the doing the research and casting appropriately and making sure that they can do it, and the voice actor's responsibility of saying, listen, I love that you want me for this role, I really do, but I cannot do a Southern accent to save my life for longer than 15 minutes. So we'll help you find someone else, you know. You guys are great. The narrators are really great on referrals of each other when it comes down to things like that.
So, Viviana, I found it interesting. You have a degree in business management. So I'd like to know, when you went to school for that, was there a teacher or a concept or something that you learned that really stuck with you that you feel would be really important for someone breaking out into this world or doing this now, that maybe was important to you or something that you felt was effective in helping your career even?
Constant learning. Trends are all over the place. You're constantly going to learn what works for one is not going to work for someone else. So you're going to have to learn what works for them. Learning about color schemes and branding and fonts. And there's always learning, because what's trending right now, for an example, the cartoonish looking covers that I'm going, That's usually a rom-com concept, but now dark romance is using it, and you're going, I don't know which one it is, man. And you're trying to figure out, because it used to be you automatically knew. So learning is a constant thing that I realized in business, is that you kind of have to continuously learn, because a business degree is going to teach you the rules and the regulations and how to look at this and look at that. But depending on where you're utilizing that skill set, it's going to change. So if you're running a restaurant, my advice is going to differ a little bit from that of a narrator. But at the end of the day, it's going to be, you have to learn what you're selling. You have to learn the product that you're building and making. And that sometimes is yourself. And finding out where you fit in and where that audience is. And that's always ever growing. You can start by having a food cart, and then now you can be a 5-star Michelin chef. But you have to start somewhere, and learning how to get there, whether you want to be the do only one audiobook because you wanted to see if you can do it. Great. That's perfect. And that's OK. But if you want a career in it, what does that look like? Continuing learning and coaching and finding out how to manage your business and how to go to that next step. If you want to start as a romance narrator, but now you want to do thrillers and mysteries, or you want to do voiceover at cartoons and video games, what does that look like? Because that's a different skill set right there. Or the opposite, if you're starting with cartoons and video games and you want to come over into romance, you know, newborn and things like that, like what does that look like, and that path. And it's constantly learning, and if you are not okay with learning, that's going to be your stop, because you're going to realize that if you're not constantly learning, you're not going to get far.
So flexibility and adaptability is important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Flexibility, adaptability, and knowing how to ebb and flow, you know, kind of goes along with it. So a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm flexible, but they're like 180. I'm like, no, honey, didn't have to go that far.
There's a little more to the right, just a little more.
And things like that. So it's one of those where you just have to continue to learn and be okay with the failures and be okay with the feedback. Because that's the other thing, too. The amount of times I've had to talk to an author about maybe not that color or maybe not that font, because it looks great on a poster, but it ain't going to look really good on my little
thumbnail.
On my Amazon app, right? Yep. That lovely cursive and that, you know, font is just divine, but not on a avatar kind of a thing. Yeah. Or when a narrator says, my British accent, because I lived there for 5 years. I'm like, congratulations. I still have not you pronounced that word in British. You kind of have to have that. Or, the breath just too breathy, you know, or not breathy enough. You kind of have to have that, be able to take that criticism, feedback, suggestions, and also direction. You hire me for a reason. You can either listen and we can, you know, and potentially make money, or we can be like, okay, great. Make a note that you did not listen to Vivi when she said XYZ, and then we'll talk later.
That's so important about direction and being able to take direction.
Uh-huh.
From your producer, from your director, as an author, as an actor, it's vital. You have to be able to take direction, take it in, and then make the adjustment.
Yeah. And don't get so cocky that if you think that this is I've seen it with authors and I've seen it with narrators, where they either the narrators no longer audition or the narrators are not listening to the director because they're also the author, because they might think that they're higher and mighty. I don't know where those balloons are coming from.
What was that?
I have no idea. But I was like, surprise.
Wait, those are digital balloons, I'm assuming,
yes,
right?
Yes, those are digital balloons.
I thought they were real.
They're real balloons.
No.
Viviana's on the process.
Yeah, no. For me, you'll get candles and maybe a spray that I have handy. But not balloons.
Yeah.
But I think that's also where sometimes people get stuck in not listening, because they feel that the person that's providing that feedback or that direction, what do they know? I'm an actor. I'm the writer. I'm the marketist person. Because it happened too when I've worked with other people on the team that also do marketing. So it's like, you have to listen. You have to be open to suggestions and remember and realize that no one's perfect, and it's okay for someone else to have a better idea of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's part of the process, right? We all have different creative processes, and they have to bring them together. That's all part of it. That's the beauty of it, making that all fit together into one cohesive piece.
Yeah.
So good, Vivian.
Wow.
So great.
Well, on that end, thank you for sharing your process, Viviana. This was phenomenal.
It's so great.
You really, really articulate and talked about so many really practical tips for anybody in this venue.
Yeah. It's hard, but not just having the conversations and asking questions. I'm a firm believer, I don't know that I upset you or made you happy unless you tell me. Because sometimes we hide our emotions. So sometimes we don't know, or we're on the phone, or we're texting and emailing. You know, I might be emailing saying, Tara, this was the best thing ever, and I can't believe that you decided to do it this way. If you're having a bad day, you're going to hear that conversation completely different, you know? Or if you're thinking of something, you know, that may not work, or the other way around and stuff like that. So it's a lot. And just, I think, just ask the questions, and it's not that hard.
And Viviana, tell us where we can find you. Where can people find you?
I'm everywhere. if you do, you can search Enchantress of Books. That's usually how people will find me. Viviana Izzo tends to be a good search at any way, stuff like that. So,
excellent.
Thank you guys for
this conversation, Viviana,
for having this platform.
Oh, thank you so much.
Heck, I've been doing it now for 9 years, and I'm still going, no one listens to my podcast. Why am I doing this?